Take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. We are in a series on the home and the best defense for your home. If we knew that an individual were coming to rob our home, we would make preparation. We would do what is necessary for the protection. I hope we would do what is necessary for the protection and well-being of our family and of our welfare and everything involved. The Bible says that in spiritual areas, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the rulers of wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we must be vigilant on this matter of the best defense for our home. We began with the first message relating to a loving husband. And then last week or 2 weeks ago, a message on the leading father. So the husband in the home is to love his wife and to love his family. And as kids are brought along, he is to lead his home for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to be that leading father. This morning, we look in Ephesians chapter 6, and I take some time to detail the nature of what it should be like in the life of a child in the home. Now, this is an easy message to preach from this vantage point because I'm no longer in that position as the kid. Now, it's not an easy message, though, to preach because my parents are here in the service today. And they're looking back and saying, yes, where was this 40 years ago? And where was this in your heart and life? Well, I have sons of my own now, and I now understand what they were telling me all those years. It's more painful for me than it is for you. And they said that on many occasions. And they said it hurts. And I said, yes, but not in the same place, right? So what is the necessity for the home as it relates to children? Now, let me again preface this by saying that this will not be a popular message with secular society. This is not popular with the nature of what people have done in the psychological world as it relates to our children. And where I'll hone in is directly related from the Bible and how it applies to you as the parent and to our children. Keep in mind that God placed parents in the home and not friends. So if I parent biblically, it is entirely possible that I will not be my child's friend. If not altogether, that is correct. But if I will parent my young person when they're small, boy, there's a wonderful opportunity to be their friend later on. And so I want to look at this matter of the learning child. The learning child. We began by looking at the loving husband, and then the matter of the leading father, and this morning we look at the learning child. What does a child need to learn in the home? Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 6 in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I want to speak on three things that are important for every child to learn in the home. I pray that if you're in the habit of taking notes, that you'll write these things down. It may be right now you say, well, I'm not in that role of a child, so I don't need to listen to the message. But you know, if you're a parent, there are things for you to teach. If you're a grandparent, there are things and ways for you to help. And so I pray that everybody will think of this in their role in influencing the home for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this time. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning on the best defense for our home. We desperately need loving husbands. We desperately need leading fathers. And I know that in this day we need children that will learn the priorities of life while they dwell in their own homes. Would you direct me in what I say? May this be a help for all that have come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The learning child. Let's begin this morning by understanding some things here at the outset. Every child is born with a blank slate. They do not know anything about the things of this world, nor the things that they must do in this world. Every child is placed into a home. Someone had to bring that child into this world and into existence. The very first things that every child learns, he or she learns in the home. And it is important for us to realize the significance of the success or failure of the home as it relates in the world today. Long before there was success or failure in the world and in society, there was success or failure in the home. I've often said this, but I want you to think in terms of this. The home is literally to be the boot camp training children for life in the real world. Now, if our young men and women can join the military and in the course of several weeks be turned into soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, why is it that we're not producing a great product for Almighty God with the 18 or so years that we've been given? And I want us to think on that matter this morning about the home and as it relates to the structure, discipline, the relationships, the interactions that occur in our homes. All of this preparation is actually a preparation for life, for that time when the young person moves out and away from the leadership of dad and mom. In my mind, and according to the Word of God, everything learned in the home is foundational to the rest of the person's life and the direction that they will take with that life. So according to the Word of God, what must we learn as it relates to a child in the home? Again, let me encourage young people to put these things to memory. This ought to be a verse that every one of our children memorizes early on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible still says that the same as it did in the day that God inspired the Apostle Paul to pen these words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The first thing for every young person to learn is obedience in the home to dad and mom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Proverbs 6, in verse number 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 17, a verse that my teachers had me write often. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The clear theme of Scripture is that parents learn to obey mom and dad. Wouldn't this world be dramatically different if every young person simply obeyed dad and mom? Teaching our children to obey. Well, how do we do that? Oh boy. Here we go. Number one, it is obedience all the time. Number two, not only obedience all the time, but obedience in all things. It's twofold. It's all the time and it's in all things. So for the young people in the auditorium today, here we go. It does not matter if you are smarter than your parents. My dad doesn't even know how to work that technology. My mom has no idea what this or that means. I even thought of some of the terminology that one of our seniors used in the senior testimony on Friday night. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many of those words passed right over a number of the people in the congregation that night. You just never heard of that. But you know, it does not matter as to whether or not my parents are smarter than me, or whether I think they're smarter than me. You know, it does not matter if my parents are saved or unsaved. It does not matter if you like the command or do not like the command. As I think back, I believe that there were many commands that my dad gave that I did not like. But it does not matter as to whether or not I like the command or do not like the command. And it does not matter as to whether or not I feel like it. The clear principle of Scripture is that I obey all the time and I obey in all things. One of the recurring themes that we had with our sons, and we still have to work on it today because it does not immediately sink in. We'll be working on it until the day that they depart from us, and then we're going to pray and call ahead to the next people that they will have over them. And we will give this phrase, first time, every time, first time, every time, first time, every time, first time, every time. Why? Because that's how a young person ought to obey. That obey in all things. Now, right now, we're living in a society, and please, please, if you resemble this remark, do not show it on your face. Do not let anyone down the aisle know about it. If you know that there are people like this, do not nudge them right now. Do not elbow them. Do not look down at grandparents. Do not look down at your children. But how many times in the world today is obedience based upon what number the parent's at? Johnny, you're going to do this. Oh, yes, you are. One. Two. Three. Man, I've never gotten past three. Four. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. We base obedience based upon the number. Well, my friend, if they can obey on five, they could have obeyed on one. But how did we develop the pattern where they obeyed on five? We developed that pattern because we've helped them. We've trained them to be understanding that I don't actually have to obey until dad and mom's vein pops out. I don't actually have to obey mom and dad until they, and then you fill in the blank with whatever cooks your gizzard. And the child knows, hey, I'll then get on board. If we begin this process by teaching them obedience first time, every time, first time, every time, you say, were the boys in your home perfect with that? No. But we're reiterating it time and again, first time, every time. I am very thankful that there were people that didn't quit on me after the first time that I did not learn the lesson. But they stayed with it. And isn't this the Bible principle? It's precept upon precept, line upon line. They don't get it the first time. But I tell you what, as I continue to teach this and train this, they learn the lesson. If you go into a location and you do not want your kids to touch something, right now there are so many of you that are thinking to yourself, yes, I know what that's like, Pastor. I go into this location or that location and there's signs up everywhere that say, do not touch. I'm scared to death to take my kids into those locations because I know they're going to touch something. Well, you know what you have to do? You have to teach them not to touch. Pastor, I hate that my kids throw a tantrum every time we go into Walmart and they hate the candy aisle, or they love the candy aisle and I hate the candy aisle and I want to get as much of it. I don't want to give them any and they want to get as much of it as they can. Well, why don't you teach your kids that no, they're not getting the candy? Oh, but they'll throw themselves down in the middle of the aisle and throw a tantrum. Well, there's a way to fix that. There's a way to deal with that. Again, none of these things happen overnight, but God gave them into your home for at least 18 years. So far as I know, I don't see many 13-year-olds going out to get their own mortgage, going out to pay rent in their own location and moving to other places. No, God placed them in our homes that they might learn these things. And if I can encourage you, moms or couples that don't yet have kids, now's the best time to lay down how you're going to train your children up. When they get to that 17 and 18 year old time and parents get convicted about this matter of obedience, now they're looking up at that 210-pound chiseled young man. And they're saying, would you please? It's a much different case. So the time to train is right now. Again, folks, this doesn't happen necessarily the first time, but you are teaching this to them over and over and over again. Obedience all the time. Obedience in all things. Son, brush your teeth. Now, I don't know of a home in America where a parent only had to say that one time. Did you brush your teeth? Did you or didn't you? If you can't remember, you probably didn't do it. Son, did you make your bed? So in the 10 seconds it took you to walk down the stairs or come out of your bedroom, you've forgotten if you made your bed? Son, did you pick up your toys? This happens all the time. But I want you to see as we build on these matters, when children fail to learn obedience in the home, they fail to obey the authority that is outside the home. God has placed us in that role of training them to obey early on, and then it progresses. So, for example, for most kids, I have 5 years to teach them obedience in all things and obedience all the time, because for the most part, kids are going to go off and they're going to meet this person. Mrs. Henry, my K-5 teacher. And a parent is going to say to the Mrs. Henrys of the world, here's my 5-year-old, enjoy. Well, whatever I've done in those first 5 years begins to show, because that K-5 teacher is one of the first people that is going to interact with that youngster on a full-time basis. I don't know if Mrs. Henry taught another year. Did she teach another year after she had us? I'm not positive. Parents, do you ever wonder why your parents are so excited about giving back their grandchildren? Wait a minute, I thought grandparents were supposed to love grandkids. I thought grandparents were supposed to just want them to stay and to be around them all the time. My parents, they don't want my kids at their house. That's so unusual. No, it's not if the kids can't obey. Please, go ahead, take them back. Or if they do, ask it. Let me give you some insight here. If the grandparents are always taking the grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese, be fearful. Because the grandparents are probably saying, no, they're not coming to the house. I can't take it. I'm trying to make a very weighty issue a little bit lighthearted. Because I know that this occurs. And people are frustrated. People don't understand, well, why won't my kids obey? Well, it's a significant amount of investment, and it does not happen overnight. I've often said that parenting is one of the most difficult jobs that any of us have, and it's one of the jobs that we're trained for the least. Do you remember when your kids came home from the hospital? In our setting, the hospital gave us 4 VHS tapes. And said, go ahead and look at these before you go home. It'll teach you what you need to know about taking your child home from the hospital. Really? I'm going to learn everything that I need to know about parenting from 4 VHS tapes in a few hours there in the hospital? No, there's far more to it. The number one thing that every child needs to learn is obedience all the time and in all things. I wonder if our children struggle with obedience because they do not see obedience lived out in the life of their mom and dad. Let's move to the second thing. The Bible says in verse number 2, it's not only obeying your parents, but it also says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now let me walk through this with you. I obeyed my mom and dad until October the 10th, 1992. On October the 10th in 1992, my wife walked an aisle, came down to me, and we committed to each other. We said, I do. And in the eyes of my folks, her dad giving her away, my dad participating in the ceremony, we shared our vows. We did everything on that day to become our own home. And I obeyed my folks all the way through that. And when I disobeyed, I faced the repercussions for the disobedience. Even when I finished up college, as I finished up my college days and so forth, listen, moms and dads, you'll like this. When I finished college and I came back home, I was going to work in the same church where my dad was working. And until I got married, there were a few months between the time I graduated and then I got married. And my parents said, hey, it's fine for you to live here, but you're going to pay rent now. Why? Because they didn't want me to freeload off of them for too long. And they wanted me to start learning the responsibilities of life. And here's what happened. They were charging me rent. Listen to this. I'm a youth pastor at a church, and I still communicated with them on what time I would be home because I was under my dad's roof. And I was under his responsibility. And so I was going to honor him and at that time still obey him. Oh, but I was over 18. Yes, I was over 18. But I was still living under the good graces of the mortgage that he was paying. I was still living under the good graces of the electric bill that he was paying. I still had all these things afforded to me. And so they didn't charge me a huge amount of rent. But parents, it might generate another stream for you today. But you know what? They were seeking to invest in my life and help me understand that there were not other steps in life. Yes, they provided something for me that was far beyond what I could afford, and I still had a responsibility to obey them. But on October the 10th, 1992, while I became my own home now with my wife and my spouse, I have not lost another responsibility, and it's right here in verse number 2. And the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. I have a responsibility to this day to honor my parents. Now, Dad and Mom at this point would like to tell me what I still have to do. They don't have that role now. I'm in my own home with my spouse and our family. The Bible says the husband and the wife leave their parents and cleave unto each other. But you know what? By God's grace, and they've both been in this weekend with Reagan's graduation, by God's grace, I believe that my wife and I set this as a high standard in our hearts. That we would honor her parents and that we would honor my parents. You see, obedience might come to a point of ending because I have taken the next step and become my own home. But I still have the responsibility to honor my dad and my mom. In 2002, when I became the pastor in Greenville, Tennessee, our church at that time had always had a relatively young pastor, and they'd had a relatively young youth pastor. But we had an aging congregation. We were getting more and more retirees. And so as I took stock of the church and of our finances and so forth, I desired for someone that they would come on staff with us and minister to the older folk in our church, kind of those folk that were 50 and older. I just meant that they're older than I was, okay? And so I called my dad and mom and I said, hey, would you guys pray about coming down on staff for me at Central Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee? And Dad said, we'll pray about it. We'll let you know. And they prayed about it and God brought them down. And Dad served as my assistant pastor for 12 years in our church. I would go into different places where I'd be speaking and they'd say, oh, your dad's the pastor of the church and you're the assistant pastor. And I'd say, no, I'm the pastor. My dad is the assistant pastor. And I remember one specific college president that said to me, now say that again. I said, well, I'm the pastor and my dad is my assistant pastor. And he loved that story. He just could not get over that. And my dad would come into the office and he'd say, "Hey, Pastor, what do you think we should do on this?" To my knowledge, unless he did it behind my back, my dad never called me by my first name in 12 years as we were working together. I'm his son. I could walk into the office there and I probably said, "Dad." But my dad always said, "Pastor, what do you think we should do on this? Pastor, what do you think we should do on this?" In fact, to this day, we just had some senior saints up from Tennessee and we're getting ready to pray. And my dad says, "Let's have Pastor pray for us." And I'm like, "Dad, you can call me Todd." He did that on my behalf. And I'd be a fool to miss out on honoring them for the significant investment that they've made for me. Did you note what the Bible says there in the next verse? "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Young people that do not learn obedience and honor of their elders struggle all the way through life, and more often than not, end their life prematurely through foolish activity and actions. I've distanced myself from that day of having to obey them in everything that they say. And Dad has entered that role where he'd be an advisor to me and he'd say, "Let me give you some counsel or advice from an experience that I've had." And I'd have to listen to that advice and counsel. And there were times where I took the advice and counsel and I went in a different direction. And he was kind enough and gracious enough to serve under me there on that role on the staff. But I tell you what, to the best of my ability, even to this day and this age, I still have the responsibility to honor them. Again, let's go back through our scenario and let's declare these things. Well, I'll honor them so long as they're believers. Or I'll honor them so long as I believe they're making good choices. Or I'll honor them if I feel like it. Or I'll honor them if everything is convenient and they've done what I think they should do. No, the Bible says that we're to honor our fathers and our mothers. And I wonder how often young people who know Christ, who would otherwise have an opportunity to influence their parents, who do not know Christ for the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd have an opportunity to influence, and yet they lose their opportunity because saved kids do not obey the Bible and honor mom and dad. We have a great responsibility to obey mom and dad, to honor mom and dad. Exodus 20 and verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." This is obedience. Honoring parents is obedience with the right attitude. It's full obedience. It's not partial obedience. It's not the philosophy of the kid who's told by his parents to sit down. And he said, "Well, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." It's obeying in the letter of the law. It's obeying in the spirit of the law. It's doing right that I might honor my parents all the days of my life. Can I throw this in? I wonder if our children don't have a difficult time honoring authority because they never learned to honor us. If I can give one more this morning, it's not only about learning to obey mom and dad and learning to honor mom and dad. But if I can go a step further, for the learning child, would the learning child also learn to discipline their flesh? They need to learn to obey mom and dad because that is a principle that will carry them all the way through life. They need to learn to discipline their or to honor their parents, but they need to also learn to discipline their flesh. Do you know that from the time of your child's birth that you have an enemy as it relates to your child, and that enemy is called the flesh of your children? The flesh of your children, mom and dad, is working against you in training your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That little boy, that little girl come out, and they're so precious when they're born, but then we start to see their flesh grow and grow and gain an appetite, and they easily say no to their responsibilities. They say no to obedience. They say no to their parents. They say no to their grandparents. this flesh is working against you. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 7 verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 8 and verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 13 and verse number 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Galatians 5, the Bible says that we war against the flesh. Galatians 5 verses 19 to 21, do you want to see what the flesh looks like when it has full sway in your life? You see all of these attributes: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and I could go on and on. This kind of wickedness shows itself. And we're teaching our children to deny their flesh, to say no to the filthiness of the flesh. Do not give your flesh a taste for sinful habits. It's so interesting to me that as kids are brought into this world, they have a natural love for ice cream and a natural hatred for broccoli. How does the kid know that? You put broccoli up to their mouth, you know? Well, first of all, it's in a jar. And it's all, well, eh. They hate those kinds of things. They hate, they're repulsed by it. But you and I feed it to them because we know it's what? It's good for them. What if a parent were to say, oh, I'm so thankful to bring this baby home from the hospital. It's going to be ice cream from here forward. And you just served your kid gallon after gallon after gallon of ice cream. And you tried everything you could. You found out their favorite flavors. And you just stuffed them full of ice cream. And you never gave them anything that was good for them. Is that going to turn out well? Oh, but they will love it. Well, you know what? I think we do the same thing in spiritual things. You know, it's hard to teach their flesh to obey. So I'll let someone else do it. Well, it's just hard to have them take these things in. So I'll let someone else do it. No, it's my responsibility as a parent to train them up, to help them say no to the flesh. When the 2 and 3-year-old will not deny their flesh anything, it might be cute. But that same 2 or 3-year-old grows up to be a 17 or 18-year-old. And when they will not deny their flesh, it is not cute. It is often deadly. They learn to say no to the filthiness of the flesh. But listen to this, my friend. They learn to say no to the friends of the flesh. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Joseph had to say no to Potiphar's wife. When Amnon said yes to Jonadab, Joseph refused the filthiness of the flesh. Amnon loved the filthiness of the flesh. How does it turn out? Joseph goes on, lives a wonderful life, is exalted by God, lives a long life, is honored in this life, is honored with his wife, is honored with his children, with his family, and God exalted him in due time because he said no to the flesh. Amnon said yes to the flesh. And he committed a wicked deed with Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And it's just as I said before, these kinds of things end a life prematurely. And Amnon committed that wicked deed with Tamar. And in just a little over 2 years, the Bible says he went down for what he thought was a party. And at that party, the men arose, and with sheep shearing instruments, they slaughtered Amnon. And he went into eternity because he loved his flesh. Mom, dad, grandparent, aunt, uncle, babysitter, Sunday school teacher. Boy, I tell you what, every opportunity you have with the children, help them fight their flesh. If our children learn their first things in the home, then why is it that so many fail to learn obedience, honor, and discipline? Could it be that our children have watched their parents continually disobey authority? Can I set up a scenario for you? I tell our boys, you must do thus and so because I'm your authority. Listen. Boys, do this. I'm your authority. But then over here, I'm driving in the car and I'm doing 75 in a 45. And a police officer pulls out behind me and turns on the lights. And with the boys in the car, I make a statement like this. Who does this pig think he is to pull me over? Which do you think the boys are going to follow? What I'm telling them to do? Or what they watch me do? Moms, I wonder if your kids have no respect for you because you have no respect for your husband. Parents, I wonder if your kids have no respect for you because at every Sunday dinner table, you have preacher for lunch. You see, we would like to believe that our talk can talk. But my friend, our talk and our walk both talk. But our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Men, this should be a rebuke to us. Because I think in many ways we speak to our wife and then our children speak to our wife and we're jumping all over the kids because they're talking that way when all they're doing is mirroring what we've been doing all along. Wives, you wonder why the kids don't obey dad. They've merely been listening to you. Now, I'm not saying in any one of these scenarios that everybody's perfect. I don't think anybody would claim that. We have many men and women that serve in law enforcement here in our church. I don't believe that any of them would say that they are a perfect law enforcement officer. Parents make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. Law enforcement officers make mistakes. Can I give you another one? Whether you like the president or not at any given time, we have a responsibility to honor those in authority. Oh, not so, Pastor, not so. Do you know that Romans chapter 13 was written under the leadership of a man by the name, oh yes, that's right, Nero? And while I may not agree politically with those that have been in office at different times, we still have yet to have a Nero in office. I don't understand why the next generation just won't obey us and won't honor us. Well, where in the world would the next generation learn honor and obedience? But from those of us that are in the previous generation. I desire that our homes have learning children. Could it be that children have watched their parents disobey authority? Could it be that children have watched their parents dishonor authority? Could it be that our children have watched their parents delight in sinful habits without disciplining the flesh? And therefore, it's no surprise that the child has trouble with obedience and honor and fighting the flesh. Our children have been given to us by God. And it ought to be our desire to model obedience, honor, and discipline in the home, because our children are watching. Our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Let's pray.